Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Good to have you in on this Monday as the Titans take it to the Patriots. 34-10 yesterday at Nissan Stadium, and joining us at this time every Monday is Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
We are doing excellent. So when you look at it from this standpoint, if you were beginning to maybe fall off the Titan bandwagon prior to the Dallas game and prior to the Patriot game, has these last 2 weeks kind of made you buy back into what this team could potentially be for the stretch run and maybe into January?
Well, I don't know if you've looked at the stadium lately, but I don't know that there's many people who were on the Titans bandwagon to begin with. But maybe this will start to get some people on it. I don't think just the last 2 weeks. I think the last three. I think you have to go back to London, where this team really started to get on track. They started to run the football and started to find the end zone a little bit. That's what gave me some confidence about yesterday going into the game, was kind of the track that they were playing on, you know, that the defense was continuing to play well in the red zone. They were the least penalized team in the league. And most encouraging to me, and I think I brought it up with Derek last week, was, you know, that they've settled in on the run game. They've dedicated to the run game, and it's setting up everything else on their offense. And you felt like if they could do some of those things that they would have a shot. I just know they would do them all, and they did.
Now, Corey, for a second week, Jonnu has found his way in the end zone. This offense seems to, when they can incorporate the tight end, it seems to run a little bit more fluent. It seems that Marcus feels a little bit more comfortable when he knows he has that outlet of the tight end. Moving forward, do you see Jonnu becoming a bigger and bigger part of what LaFleur is trying to do? Because he's, if you look at it, he's Delanie Walker sort of on steroids, because he's much faster. His hands are not as reliable as Delanie. And I'm not saying he is Delanie, but he gives you something that you missed when Delanie was injured.
Well, I mean, you know, he's not Delanie. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. But he clearly looks like a different player these last 2 weeks. And I think confidence is a big weapon. And I think, you know, that performance in Dallas made him look like a different player. And you see the difference when a guy makes three plays to win a game instead of two plays to lose it. Just what a difference that can make for you. But yeah, I mean, if you've got three or four guys out on a pass route and you can't trust one of them to catch the football, and you're not even looking at them, which we kind of saw a few weeks ago, it takes away options. And when all your options are now open, I think it makes things different. I mean, it makes the offense better, because, you know, he was a liability before, and now he's not a liability if he can continue to make plays. I mean, those, you know, the way he caught that one ball and snapped around, I mean, that was a confident move. That was a decisive move. And you see the speed and the power he's got. That's why they drafted the young man. And so, yeah, I mean, it's very, very encouraging to see him. He was the first Titans receiver with two touchdowns. That's crazy. And so, yeah, I mean, it can certainly be something else that takes this offense to the next level, because, you know, when Matt LaFleur came in here, I mean, how much time did he spend working on incorporating the tight end into the offense? Because Delanie Walker's a three-time Pro Bowler.
Corey, is it just – so as much as I find myself researching offensive numbers and tweeting about the offense and about Matt LaFleur and about Marcus the entire day, I feel like the defense really was the bigger story. You hold him to 10 points, and Tom Brady looked flustered the entire time. Now, this team has struggled to stop the run over the course of this season. Malcolm Butler's been roasted on more than one occasion. What is it that Dean Pease was able to do yesterday that he can then take and use against other teams, or is it just a Tom Brady thing that he's good at?
Well, I mean, I think it's complimentary. Like you said, they handed the offense some short fields, which helped as well, and the offense converted. And when they put Brady down and the Patriots down, Patriots aren't used to playing from behind. Now, they can certainly do it. They've done it. We have seen it. But putting them from behind, you know, really hurt, really helped the defense as well. So each side helped out each other. But, you know, Brady's not mobile, which, you know, most of the quarterbacks we've seen them play this year are mobile. So when you take his receivers away and you take his run game away, there's not a lot left. You know, with Mariota and some of these mobile guys, when you take some of those things away, they can extend and they can maybe create a little bit. You know, Tom is so accurate and so smart. I mean, you could just see the frustration yesterday. Look, their DBs, that was easily the best game they played. Adoree Jackson was absolutely sensational covering Josh Gordon. You know, Logan Ryan, you know, arguably played his best game. And, you know, we kept waiting to see 21 chasing someone from behind, and we didn't see it. You know, they played a spectacular game yesterday. I was especially impressed with the way they took away the short passing game. You know, James White came in with over 60 receptions. He got absolutely lit up by Kenny Vaccaro on that first pass. And, you know, and from that point on, you know, they just kind of took that away. You know, as for the defensive run game, again, that started getting better against the Chargers. And it's been good the last 3 weeks. So whatever changes they've made, whether it be schematic or just guys being more disciplined in what they're supposed to do at the point of attack, you know, it's been trending in that direction. So I think that's absolutely something we should look more for as the season goes on. Can we look for another performance like that in the secondary? I don't know. I mean, that was absolutely sensational. If they can be that good again, look out.
Talking to Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Corey, we saw this team put together a three-game winning streak, and then after that, the bottom kind of fell out a little bit. They lost three in a row. When you look at this team, are they more equipped now than before to handle prosperity? And how does Vrabel get that message across that, you know, they're playing well, but this is a week-to-week league?
Well, Nick, I think it's a great point, and it's something that's really impressed me about this coaching staff has been their ability to learn. You know, I felt like they learned they needed to run the football more and be more aggressive, and they've done that. I also think they learned that that Philadelphia win was too big of a win for this team, and they came out and weren't ready at Buffalo. I mean, they laid turd on the field in Buffalo. They weren't ready to play. And so when you saw them beat the Cowboys on Monday night, Mike Vrabel was really boring in his post-game presser and just was like, I told him congratulations and let's go get ready for the next one. And they were really boring after this win because they're understanding that if the win is too exciting and too big, you know, yes, it's okay to enjoy it, but it has to be the expectation. And if it's the expectation, it doesn't become this overwhelming emotional high that you can't recover from. And I think, you know, that's why you hear them say the boring things of getting ready for the next one. It's a step in the process because it's all about creating that mentality of getting ready for the next game and not being too overjoyed with one victory because there's a long way to go. And I think their mentality, even just post-game, has changed.
Now they go out and they draft two young who they hope to be studs on the defensive side of the ball at linebacker. But what is showing up is that one guy has become the playmaker, so to speak, and it's Jayon Brown. And yeah. Quickly, just talk about how much of an impact he has been on this defense this whole season. Because to me, other than Casey, he's been the guy that teams need to try to stop now.
Yeah, I thought Harold Landry was good yesterday. I thought Wesley Woodyard was outstanding yesterday. And I think week in and week out, you're right, Jayon Brown is making plays. They drafted him for his speed, and his speed and relentless effort, you know, shows up, you know, all over the place because, I mean, the guy makes plays sideline to sideline. And who knew, what's he got, 4.5 sacks now?
Mm-hmm.
Who knew he was going to be able to pull that off? But you know, Dean Pease has added that to his kind of repertoire. You know, when they brought him in, mainly to be a cover guy. But when you can shoot that gap and you've got that extra half step, you know, it can be enough. And he has been, you know, look, the good ones jump off the page. When Mace played, you jumped off the page, you know, on the offensive side. And right now, Jayon Brown is jumping off the page for the Tennessee Titans. And I don't want to say it's a pleasant surprise, because most people thought he was a nice young player, but it's a pleasant surprise because he's been a difference maker for this team.
Corey, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, and we'll chat next week. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yep.
You got it. Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us as he does every Monday after a Titans game. When we come back, you know, we've talked about the Titans, home win, upset, dominating fashion. We've talked about the Vols, home win, upset, dominating fashion. Got to talk about the Road Warriors. That's next on Morning Drive.